Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show. South Bay Spotlight on December 10th, 2015. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well today, Joe. You sound a little off your game.
Well, you know, everything's different today because we have such a great guest and really such a great friend. We've known each other for quite a while. I want to say almost 15 years, and this is going to be quite an interview. And it's also great to have someone who really understands a lot of the issues that we're going through here in the South Bay that even have implications throughout the state. So, Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Assemblyman David Hadley. David was elected to represent the 66th Assembly District, that's the South Bay, in November of 2014. Born and raised in Fullerton, he attended Servite High School in Anaheim. He completed his bachelor's degree at Dartmouth College and his master's degree at the London School of Economics. 16 years ago, David founded Hadley Partners, Incorporated, a financial advisory firm that specializes in representing entrepreneurial and family-owned businesses in the financing or sale of their companies. Since its founding, HPI has advised well over 100 businesses and has helped some of those businesses create thousands of jobs as well as new products and services. Now, David and his wife, Suzanne, have been married for over 22 years, and they're the proud parents of four children. Their 20-year-old son, Jack, is a cadet at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Their three daughters, Claire, Ellen, and Faith, are students at MiraCosta High School and Manhattan Beach Middle School. So David's a local, Joe, and this morning we're going to catch up with what Assemblyman Hadley has been doing since the election, and we're going to hear what he has planned going forward. Assemblyman Hadley, welcome to the program. We are so thrilled you could join us this morning.
Well, good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Joe. Thank you both for having me here.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us, David. It's quite a pleasure to have you on the show. We've been doing the show for almost 5 years now, and this is such a joy because, of course, we have such history with your son Jack and my son Jared playing baseball at MiraCosta High School.
Yeah,
this is fantastic.
No, we go back. We've sat in a few bleachers together over the years, watching our boys play. It's been
yes,
fun.
Yes, absolutely. And now, when did you first get the idea, David, that you wanted to run for public office?
Well, Joe, the joke on me in Sacramento is that I'm 51 years old, and until I ran for the assembly last year, I hadn't run for or been elected to anything since seventh grade. And I'm now in a chamber of people, most of whom, not all, but most of whom, you know, were their ASB presidents in high school, or they were city council, school board, they were law review if they went to law school. And so this elective office is a new thing for me. And I've spent most of my life living the kind of life that most people in the South Bay live. You know, we've raised our four kids. They've gone to our local public schools. We've been active in our communities. We've tried to be. I started my own business and worked hard to get that off the ground. So, honestly, I never thought I would run for public office. But the two things that got me into it were, first of all, I've spent the last 5 years working behind the scenes because I think that unless we make some changes in California, our kids will not have the same future, the same opportunities in this state that so many of us that I feel so fortunate to have had. And that's what got me involved in the first place. Mm-hmm. The reason I ended up running for the assembly was that I failed as a candidate recruiter. One of my jobs as a local leader was to recruit a candidate to run for the seat in 2014, and I failed at that, and I chose to do it myself.
So you found that no one wanted to run for the office, so you decided to do it yourself.
That's correct. I spent a year and a half working in the South Bay in 2012 and 2013 to work to try to change our politics. I think we need more common sense and more balance in California.
Right.
And founded a group that ultimately included 176 people from all over the South Bay to try to change our politics in South Bay and in California. And one of my jobs as leader of that group was to recruit a candidate, and I struck out. So here I am.
Now, of course, we have many, many reports, not just the big reports in the headlines, like Toyota. Is it Toyota moving to Texas? Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's right.
But there's many other anecdotal evidence. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence of people moving to other states to save money on taxes, to be able to expand their businesses and keep more of the proceeds for themselves, because taxes are very high here in California. And your business, your business, Hadley Partners, in the trenches with small businesses, trying to look for financing, trying to sell their companies. Is that the primary reason that you got involved, because you saw businesses and people moving out of the state?
It's definitely one of the key reasons I got involved. I think that we really have four major challenges in the state.
Mm.
One is public education. One is our business climate and keeping businesses in the state. One is our infrastructure, where we're 38 million people living in a desert with no water, and it takes us 2 hours to get from the South Bay to Dodger Stadium, and yet we're building a train that will address neither of those challenges. And finally is our burden on taxpayers, and the fact that we're, even despite the very high taxes that we pay in California, we're still writing checks that our kids are going to have to cash. So business climate was definitely one of the things that motivated me to get more involved. And I do want to be fair, because the talk on business climate tends to be very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're a cheerleader for California and everything's great, or everything's going down the tubes. Mm-hmm. And I think California is more complicated than that. We have this incredibly successful, productive, what I call a digital economy, an intellectual property economy, in parts of coastal California, in Silicon Valley, in parts of Santa Monica and Venice, in parts of the South Bay, in coastal Orange County, and in coastal San Diego. And if you're in software or services or biotech or pharmaceuticals, frankly, it's never been a better time to be in the South Bay or in California, in coastal California,
mm-hmm.
because there's worldwide demand. We have a worldwide, globally competitive set of industries. You're not regulated by some of the worst features of California law and regulation. And the talented people who you need for those businesses, the computer science majors and the chemical engineering majors and so on, they want to live in coastal California. So there are some terrific businesses, and why we have gems, corporate gems like Apple and Google and Facebook and pharmaceutical and biotech companies like Amgen in California. And so if you have the educational background and the skills for that industry, coastal California is a great place to be.
Right.
But if you're in the rest of the economy, if you make things, if you grow things, if you move things in a logistics business or a ports business, if you extract things, energy, et cetera, it's never been harder to make a living in California. And taxes are so high, and the cost of housing, the cost of living, the cost of electricity, the cost of gasoline are all so much higher than the rest of the country that we see young people either living in their parents' homes because they can't find housing, or we see them moving out of state in far too many cases.
Right.
And as a middle-class kid from Fullerton who now lives in the South Bay, and I feel so fortunate to have taken advantage of the California dream, I got involved so that my kids, so that your kids, so that the next generation of Californians can make their futures in this state.
Right. Wow, I've never heard, David, I've never heard as clear an explication of the issues where we have a stratification of our business climate and a stratification of society based on the industry that you're in that specifically is an issue here in California that is not an issue in places like Texas or Kentucky or Southern Illinois, which is booming, or other places like Atlanta.
Right.
We have very different issues here in California, and that's fantastic.
Well, to make it even a little more interesting, the South Bay is one of the real crossroads of the state. You know, we have $10 million homes on the Strand and very successful entrepreneurs and people living in parts of the innovation economy that I just described.
Right.
But we also have oil refineries. We have aerospace manufacturing. We have light manufacturing. We have a lot of business related to the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles and LAX, you know, the big airport hub. So we are a real crossroads, and most parts of the state don't have the diversity of experience that we have in the South Bay, where one of your neighbors may be working in an oil refinery, and you know, two houses down from him, you've got a software engineer and everything in between.
Right. Jackie?
I was just going to say, I was just back east for Thanksgiving, and gas prices there are under $2.
Yeah.
I saw gas prices $1.87, $1.94, and I'm looking at it. I come home, and I'm still seeing gas prices here over $4.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
It's a great question. We have there's really two things going on in our gas prices. The first is that we have imposed higher environmental standards on our gasoline. Which does create an additional burden, and I think it's a burden that many Californians are willing to pay. You know, when I was a kid, I was growing up in Fullerton, which is inland from the South Bay, and when I played outside for an hour in the summer in Fullerton in the 1970s, my lungs hurt because of all of the junk that was in the air. And California, the whole country, and California in particular, have made a ton of progress on our environmental quality and our air quality and our water quality, and we don't want to give that up. So I think Californians are prepared to pay a bit of a premium for gas if it will keep our air cleaner and uphold higher environmental standards. But the second thing we've done is that we've been so punitive in our regulatory climate of the physical economy that we actually have a shortage of refining capacity in California. And other states won't refine gasoline to meet California standards because we have a unique standard. So if we don't have enough refining capacity in California and other states won't refine gasoline that meets California standards, we're really beholden to the refineries in the state. And, you know, we have this going on in the South Bay right now, where on the one hand, you know, we're all very concerned about what's going on at the ExxonMobil refinery in Torrance, where we had the refinery explosion in February. We've had repeated leaks and problems, and there are hearings going on, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this and how we can make sure that refinery is safe in a densely populated area. But the flip side is that because of decades of punitive approach to regulation, we don't have any spare refining capacity, and as a result, it's supply and demand. Gas prices are just far higher in California than they are anywhere else in the country, and it's because the suppliers have all the control in the market.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
That is so lucid. You don't, you know, one of the issues, David, is that our politics here in California, you rarely hear lucid, you know, extended comments about these issues. You mostly hear sound bites about these issues. What do you think is the way forward for us, the electorate, the people, to have a better dialogue with their leaders in Sacramento?
Well, first of all, thanks to folks like you and to your listeners, because there aren't very many forums or media outlets where you can have a conversation longer than 2 or 3 minutes on any of these topics. So it's definitely to the credit of shows like this and, you know, and efforts that you've been doing over the last 5 years to build your listenership, your audience, so that you can have extended conversations and not talk just in sound bites. So thanks to you folks for this show and for helping people in the South Bay be informed.
Right.
You know, as it relates to our overall political challenge, I'll out myself here. I don't want to talk too much about politics on the show, but I will out myself. I'm a Republican. And we really have two parties that are mirror images of each other in the state. We have a majority party that is very controlled by special interests, that is very arrogant, that is very lazy, that is very entitled, and that doesn't listen to voters very much. And I think even most supporters of the Democratic Party would accept that description of their party. But the reason that that majority party has not paid a political price for not listening to voters is that we have a minority party, my party, that has been very poor at being competitive, at being relevant, at giving most voters what they think of as a viable alternative in the state. And I think that one of the, you know, I hate to talk about politics in a policy conversation, but the way we're going to improve public policy in California is we're going to increase competition. Politics is just like anything else. It's like sports. It's like business. If something is working, you're going to keep doing it until it stops working. And the majority party in the state really doesn't feel compelled to change its ways because their politics are working in the face of very weak competition. So I have a lot of policy goals in Sacramento, but one of my political goals for the South Bay and for the state is to make my party more relevant and more competitive so that voters really feel like they have a choice. And when they have that choice, they're going to hear more honesty and more creativity from their candidates and from their elected leaders.
Make it more like the party of Abraham Lincoln.
You know, that's right. And if you look at California, if you described California's challenges, that despite the amazing advantages of California, we have Silicon Valley, we have the natural beauty, we have the beaches and the coast, we have the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, we have the aerospace industry, we have Hollywood, we have Disneyland, we have tourism, we have all these amazing advantages. We have the greatest higher education set of universities in the world, both public and private. You describe all those things, and then you say we have the highest poverty rate in the United States. It's almost 1 in 4 Californians are living in poverty. We have among the highest unemployment rates in the country, despite the fact that we have just about the highest taxes on everything. Our public schools are ranked in the bottom 10% of the country. They rank between 45th and 47th in the country. We have people leaving for other states to find jobs or lower cost of living or to escape the taxes of California. We have some of the worst traffic. We have no water. Mm-hmm. If you describe all those challenges, in most states, the voters would change horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't changed horses because the second party has not done a good job of being relevant and competitive and viable and to offer a second way forward. And I think Californians will have a better opportunity to address those challenges when there's more choice in California politics.
Okay, great. I love what I'm hearing. We need a different way of looking at things, except it's only Democrat or it's only Republican. There needs to be a third way. There needs to be some middle ground of some kind. How do we do that?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and this will sound like a digression, but I'll tell it quickly. I'm a game player. Mm-hmm. I like to play. If you name a game, I've probably played it. You know, my wife and I like to play bridge. I play chess. I play board games. I play card games. And the first thing about games is you need to read the rule book, understand the goal of the game and the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules of the game in politics are the U.S. Constitution and the California Constitution for folks like me working in the state. And if you read that rule book and you think it through, I think we're probably pretty much always going to have something close to a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you need to get to 51% to win an office, then you're going to create coalitions to get to 51%, which means you're normally going to have two parties. So I don't think we're going to have parties go away or we're going to have five parties or something like that. I think we're usually going to have two parties. Whether they're called Democrats and Republicans, that may change. That has changed in American history.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll always have two parties. But it's incumbent upon people like me who've been elected to represent the South Bay, no matter which party we're from, it's incumbent for us to be intellectually honest about both what we're doing well and what we're doing poorly as a state, and to work with all people of good faith, no matter what party they're in, to address the challenges that we are facing as a state. So I've only been in the state legislature 1 year, but I'm proud to say that I've had some success working with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, and maybe we can get into some of that during the show. But I'm definitely trying to work with people, no matter where they come from politically or geographically or what have you, to chart a path forward for California.
That's fantastic. We're having a great discussion, Jackie.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But I want to bring it home. I want to bring it more local. Let's get back to the South Bay.
Yeah.
I ran into our assemblyman at the USBA Expo last month.
Right.
Was it last month or the end of October? I can't remember. The weeks are flying by.
A couple of weeks ago, that's right.
Yeah. And I saw him there, and I'm like, goodness, why haven't we ever had him on the show? And that's how this came to be. But, David, there are some great success stories right here in the South Bay. You recently presented the Small Business of the Year Award to the Strand, was it the Strand
Brewing Company? That's right.
Yeah. We love these success stories. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us, just because the South Bay, Torrance in particular, has become the brew capital of the world, I think, when it comes to beer. Tell us a little bit about how that happened, the great success of that happening.
Sure, absolutely. I think there are a couple of key ingredients that have made the South Bay in general and Torrance in particular a real hub of microbrew activity. And part of it is there's obviously growing demand for high-quality beer and for people who want to drink it in a social setting, not just necessarily in their homes. They want to drink great beer in restaurants. They want to drink it in brew pubs, out of the house, et cetera. So there's definitely a consumer demand for this. But Torrance has done a great job. The Torrance Chamber of Commerce has been working on this business for several years. And here in the South Bay, here in Torrance, we have a much more friendly cost and regulatory situation. It takes only 12 weeks. That may sound like a lot, but I'll compare it in a second.
Hmm.
It takes 12 weeks to get a permit in Torrance for a tap room. In L.A., in the city of Los Angeles, it probably takes you a year. Wow. And it costs you half as much to get a permit to do this in Torrance versus the city of Los Angeles.
Right.
So if you're an entrepreneur, you don't want to spend a year of your life just getting started, which is, I mean, a permit is just the starting line to get going. So by keeping the cost down, by keeping the timeline down, Torrance has made it easier for small brew pubs, similar businesses, to launch themselves. And as a result, we now have a nice little, nice little ecosystem of these companies. Monkish Brewing, the Dudes Brewing Company, Smog City Brewing Co. are all setting up in Torrance. And the that doesn't include folks like Red Car Brewery, who are brewing on premises to serve their restaurant customers. But then Strand Brewing Company has been in Torrance now for over 5 years. I named them my South Bay Small Business of the Year this summer. They just moved to a new facility in Torrance that almost triples their size, triples their capacity, their ability to serve customers. They're hiring people. They're serving restaurants and retail establishments all over, not just the South Bay, but their distribution is growing. So this is jobs. This is tax revenue. This is a product that people are really enjoying, and they've also been a great corporate citizen in Torrance, and they make their facility available to groups, and they try to support local nonprofits and all this. So this is a classic win-win, that a little help from the City of Torrance and the Torrance Chamber of Commerce, and then just good old-fashioned American South Bay entrepreneurship, this has been really one of the success stories in the South Bay.
It has. And I was at the grand opening of their new facility, Joe, 37,000 feet.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I can't remember the exact numbers, but Rich got up, Rich Martello, one of the partners, got up and spoke about how last year they brewed this much. This year they're going to be able to brew this much. I can't remember the numbers, though, but it was very, very impressive.
Right.
No, and I was at that opening as well, and it was an honor to be able to recognize them as the South Bay Business of the Year. And we had a lot of people from the Torrance City Government as well as from the Torrance Chamber of Commerce, and so many of those people had helped, had helped the founders, take this to the next level. So it's really a great success story here in the South Bay.
It is. I love it. It's hyper-local, and I absolutely love it. Yes.
Wonderful. It covered so many issues. We've had.
It's a good point for a commercial break.
Well, okay. We've had a great time with Assemblyman David Hadley, fantastic Assemblyman for the 66th District right here, our South Bay, and we're going to be continuing that conversation. We'd love to have your comments or questions. If you'd like to ask Assemblyman David Hadley a question, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question, and we'd also like to thank a sponsor. Jackie, we're going with Actualized?
Yes.
Yes, we are. We'd love to have your comment or question. And, of course, we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
It's a joy and a pleasure to have a forum where you can have a real conversation. I think this soundbite politics that we have in society today is one of the issues that we have to correct somehow. We're going to get there. I don't know how, but we're going to get there, and we're going to do our best to give forums for people to air issues wholly, and you know, with some ability to explain what you've said so far, David. I love what you've said so far is fantastic. What are some of the other initiatives? You've been in the assembly for a year. What are some of the things that you first thought going to assembly that would be easier, that are harder, and what are some of the things that are hard that you thought would be easy?
I'm not sure I thought anything would be easy, but this was a new experience for me. So I've tried not to draw conclusions too quickly. I've tried to learn to get to know my colleagues on a relationship basis,
right,
and to learn how the place works. I don't think that you make change by throwing incendiary language and harsh rhetoric or rhetorical bombs around. So I've tried to be a good colleague, a good legislator. I'm not afraid to call people out, but I also am trying to look for the good in what people are doing. I will tell you one sad but kind of funny story about how Sacramento does things that the rest of the world would consider crazy. I, like many members of the assembly, I am on five committees. Mm. We divide up into committees to do specific investigation and vetting and preliminary voting on bills, because there's too much legislation for it all to just show up on the floor of the assembly. We need sort of an interim step to improve and vet legislation along the way. Mm. So I'm on five committees. That's the good news. The bad news is three of my five committees meet at the same time.
Oh boy.
So at 3 p.m. on Monday afternoon, I am supposed to be in three different committee hearings in Sacramento, one for the Banking and Finance Committee, one for the Natural Resources Committee, and one for the Utilities and Commerce Committee. And
right,
obviously that's not possible.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have so much legislation introduced in Sacramento. We had 2,300 bills introduced in 2015.
Oh.
A crazy number of proposals, in my opinion, that you need the committee system to work, because you can't scrutinize 2,300 bills in a gathering of 80 people on the floor of the assembly. You need to get rid of the bad ones or improve them before they reach prime time. And when you have to be in three rooms at the same time, it's hard to fully participate in that committee process. So there are lots of things that don't happen in the real world that happen in Sacramento, and I hope to play my small part in changing those over time. I will tell you, if I can talk about two educational issues that I'm
sure,
very passionate about, one of which has been a success, one of which is a project we're just getting started on. A legislative success of mine this year that I'm very proud of, and this is going to sound technical for a minute, but I'll tell you the significance right afterwards, is I introduced legislation this year that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor that removes the veto on public school transfers that resident school districts have for the children of active duty military personnel in California. So that sounds really technical, and I'll give you the backstory to make sense. The Los Angeles Air Force Base in El Segundo is a hugely important institution in the South Bay, from a jobs, from an aerospace industry, from a national security, from a community standpoint. And the base housing for LA Air Force Base is in Fort MacArthur in San Pedro.
Mm.
And that the geographical location of that base happens to be in the LA Unified School District. Now, we have some of the best schools, elementary, middle school, high schools in the state, in the South Bay. Mm-hmm. If you look at the rankings, places like Palos Verdes, Torrance, Redondo, Hermosa, Manhattan Beach, El Segundo, have some of the highest performing public schools in the state. Mm-hmm. And yet for the folks who are living at Fort MacArthur, they cannot attend any of those schools under current law unless they get permission from LA Unified. Mm-hmm. Now, LA Unified has some good teachers and some good schools and some good educational outcomes, but statistically they're not doing the job for their students that they need to be doing to get Californians ready for their futures. And statistically, again, and from the standpoint of parent confidence, the South Bay schools are doing a much better job. So now, military families are different from civilian families in one way, beyond their obvious their heroism and their service to our country. The other way they're different is they don't generally get to choose where they live.
Right.
And that's how so many of us choose where our kids are going to go to school, is we pick the right community for the schools that are, you know, that are right for our kids. And now, unfortunately, places like LA Unified don't want to give waivers to students because the money follows the student under California educational finance. So if a student in Fort MacArthur is allowed to go to school in Torrance or PV or Manhattan Beach, LA Unified loses the revenue that goes with that student. Mm-hmm. And don't you think that, you know, the children of our military service personnel should get the best education that we can provide for them in the vicinity of their military service?
Absolutely.
I certainly think so. And so we introduced this legislation that takes away from the school district in which military families reside the veto right on inter-district transfers.
Right.
So now a family living at Fort MacArthur needs to find a spot in another school district if they want to do that, Torrance or Manhattan Beach or what have you, but they don't need to ask permission
right.
to do that.
Right.
And we know from our conversations with many military families at the LA Air Force Base and elsewhere in the state that they are excited to be taking advantage of that those educational opportunities effective January 1st, 2016, which is when this law goes into effect.
Hmm.
So this was one of my real successes in my first year in the legislature, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm very grateful to my co-authors, both of whom, my two lead co-authors on this, are not in my own party. They're both in the Democratic Party. State Senator Ben Allen, who represents the South Bay, and State Assemblywoman Autumn Burke, who's just north of my district. She represents Hawthorne and El Segundo. She actually represents the Air Force Base. And both of them cross party lines, work with me on this, and do the right thing for the Air Force Base and our military families in California.
Right.
So that's a real success, and I'm proud of.
Fantastic.
We will have improved the lives of military families, and we will have enriched our school districts with these kids
right.
who have a very different experience, and an experience serving their country, their parents serving our country. Will be a great addition to public school districts around the South Bay. Let me tell you a bigger project and something I'm very passionate about that's going to take more work.
Mm-hmm.
The South Bay is a great vantage point to view our educational challenges in California because, as I said at the beginning of the show, statewide, California ranks in the bottom 10% of the country in our K-12 educational outcomes, mm-hmm. which is just simply unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some of California's best public schools are here in the South Bay. And the Assembly District that I represent includes six school districts. It includes five locally controlled, relatively small school districts, and those are Palos Verdes, Torrance, and the three beach cities, Manhattan, Hermosa, and Redondo Beach.
Right.
And then the sixth school district in my Assembly District is the rest of the district. It's the city of Gardena, the city of Lomita, and the parts of L.A. that I represent, Harbor City, Harbor Gateway, El Camino Village, right along Normandy and the 110 freeway there. Those are all part of L.A. Unified. Now, not very many people in the South Bay seem to have asked this question, but my question is, why shouldn't the parents of Gardena, the parents of Lomita, have exactly the same right to control the educational destiny of their children as the parents of Torrance do, as the voters of Torrance. So in Torrance, they elect their Torrance school board trustees, the same in PV, Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo Beach. Why shouldn't the parents, the residents of Gardena, have that same opportunity to control their kids' education instead of being part of the second largest school district in the country, LA Unified?
Mm-hmm.
So I introduced legislation early this year to streamline the process by which cities or communities can form new locally controlled school districts. And it would essentially create a roadmap that would allow cities like Gardena or communities that may not be incorporated cities, communities like San Pedro,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the city of LA, but is definitely a community. Those people all think of themselves as living in San Pedro, not in LA. Why shouldn't they form locally controlled school districts? And so I've introduced this legislation. Just as an important historical point about the South Bay, Torrance left LA Unified in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan Beach left LA Unified in 1912, over 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you could find a parent in Torrance or Manhattan Beach who's not happy that their city leaders did that 100 years ago or 70 years ago.
Right.
We need to make it possible for parents, for voters elsewhere in California, outside our very fortunate cities and school districts here in the South Bay, to create the same opportunities for their kids. So I introduced legislation to do that. This didn't pass this year. This is going to be a multi-year effort.
Right.
We're going to be back, and it shouldn't be easy to pass laws that create big change. You need to build consensus, and you need to work with stakeholders at all levels, and these are complicated issues that we're dealing with. But we need to work hard on improving educational outcomes in California. And when something is working like it is in the South Bay, with our locally controlled school districts and people lining up to buy homes in the South Bay so that they can send their kids to our public schools,
mm-hmm.
we need to pay that forward and spread that model to other parts of LA and to other parts of California.
That is, I spent 11 years on the Hermosa Beach Education Foundation, and I count that as one of the happiest times and the most productive times in our family's lives, because we were able to be right there with the decisions being made to raise more money for things that we knew as parents would be valuable for our kids. And it was fantastic to be a part of that process, and it would not have been possible if our district was not as small and self-contained as it is.
And I'll tell you, the central, if there's one thing that makes the South Bay special, I mean, we have great weather, but a lot of parts of California have great weather.
Mm-hmm.
We have natural beauty, we have the beach, but there's a lot of coast in California,
right.
Several hundred miles of coast. What makes the South Bay truly special, in my view, is our local public schools. And,
right.
Joe, you and I met through our public schools,
right.
just like you were involved in the Hermosa Beach Ed Foundation.
Right.
Suzanne and I have been involved in the Manhattan Beach Ed Foundation for well over 10 years. And everybody in the South Bay knows that investing in our schools, investing in educational excellence, just has such huge benefits for our communities. It brings better employers to town. It creates the kind of educated citizenry that we need for our democracy to work, and it makes life more fun. And we need to give other communities the same opportunity to create what we have created, and to do the right thing for their kids.
I cannot let this go without saying I want to send a shout out to your lovely wife, Suzanne.
Thank you.
So, Suzanne, how are you? And of course, your daughters, Claire, Ellen, and Faith, are doing fantastic. What are they doing? What are the girls doing?
Well, and I have to apologize because Jackie, when you introduced me at the very start of the program, you had a slightly outdated biography, which we will correct in the future, but. My daughters are a year older than they were than that bio suggests. So I don't have any kids in MBMS anymore. I've got two. Ellen is a junior and Faith is a freshman at MiraCosta.
Yeah.
And then the big change is my daughter Claire, who graduated from MiraCosta last year, is a freshman at the College of William and Mary in Southern Virginia, and she is an NCAA gymnast on their gymnastics squad. Mm-hmm. And so she's almost done with her first semester and absolutely loves the school. So we now have two of our kids in college, Jack at West Point and Claire at William and Mary. Unfortunately, they're both on the East Coast, but hopefully we'll get them back to California at some point, and they'll be closer to Suzanne and me.
Right. And then, of course, Jack, a cadet at West Point. David, that is fantastic.
Well, we are very proud of Jack. Jack is a third-year cadet at West Point. He will graduate from the U.S. Military Academy in the spring of 2017, so he's got just over a year and a half to go.
Yeah.
Probably the only thing I can say that makes it more interesting even than that is that his major is Arabic. And given what is going on in the world, that probably means Jack is going to have some pretty important and challenging and hopefully not too dangerous assignments in a relatively troubled part of the world.
Right.
Jack and Claire both come home from school next weekend, and Jack is bringing seven cadets with him for a couple of days to get some South Bay sun, beach, and maybe some microbrew. I'm not sure. And so we're looking forward to having all our kids home for the Christmas holiday. And I'm sure you are thinking the same way with Jared. How is he doing?
He is doing fantastic. He's third year in at West LA College in Culver City.
Yep.
He's playing ball still. He's holding on to the dream.
Lucky. I'm jealous.
It's amazing. I mean, it's that whole thing about, you know, millions of boys playing baseball and then a few boys play for millions.
Yeah, that's right. To have fun and to chase this passion, you know, into college level caliber baseball and Southern California baseball is very competitive nationally. To have Jared still pitching at that level is, it's a function of a ton of effort on his part and a lot of skill.
Yeah, he's 6'3" now, and he's a big boy, and we're thrilled. And it's the start that these kids got here in the South Bay will carry them throughout their lives, and you said Jack is his major is Arabic. I mean, I think that potentially the greatest win in our international relations is for finally there to be some kind of closure of a major kind in terms of the attitudes towards our Arabic and Muslim and followers of Islam friends around the world. The 99% that want peace, want to be seen as a peace-loving people and a peace-loving philosophy, and Jack will be a part of that. That's amazing.
You always know your kids are stepping up when they're doing things that you never dreamed of doing, and certainly that qualifies both West Point and Arabic qualify. Jack is actually spending next semester in the Middle Eastern country of Jordan, where he'll be doing Arabic immersion and getting to know some people and the culture and really getting ready to be fluent and to participate fully in that part of the world.
Wow, fantastic. David, you really are doing a fantastic job, and I look forward to following your successes and your experiences in public life. It's wonderful to have a real friend in Sacramento.
You know people, Joe.
Yes. Right.
You know people. Hey, listen.
Yes.
Gosh, this hour is just flying by. David has a couple of events that he wants to highlight that's coming up in his district. David, do you have your list of events?
Sure, absolutely. And And I know everybody is so busy in the holiday season, so I'll really keep the list short. We have other stuff going on, but I'll focus on two things. The first is that our district office is in the middle of Torrance. It's at the corner of Hawthorne Boulevard and Lomita Boulevard, at the southwest corner. The address is 23211 Hawthorne Boulevard, Suite 200A in Torrance. And that's our district office. And there's two things that people should know about that. The first is that we are a Toys for Tots drop-off location. I know, Jackie, you blogged about Toys for Tots a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we are collecting toys to make sure that, you know, every kid has a special Christmas and, you know, find something under the tree. So if people can drop off unwrapped toys and unwrapped so that they can be sorted and make sure they go to the age, you know, most appropriate for the kid, et cetera. So we're a drop-off point. The second thing is that my office, my staff and I are hosting a holiday open house in 6 days. It's on Wednesday, December 17th. It's at that location, 23211 Hawthorne Boulevard at the corner of Hawthorne and Lomita Boulevards in Torrance. From 5 to 7 p.m. next Wednesday, December 16th, we're just going to have an open house, and we'll have, you know, some light appetizers and something to drink, and people can socialize, and if they want to ask questions about state policy or get help with the DMV or the Franchise Tax Board, they can do that. But if they just want to hang out and see some old friends or make some new friends in the South Bay, people who care about what's going on in the South Bay and in the state government, come join us for our holiday open house. And the one thing I do want to say is that, you know, the cost of that is not taxpayer cost. You know, that is that's something that my team and I are taking care of. So
all right.
you taxpayers are not paying for wine and cheese for people who show up for a holiday open house. So those are the two things on my list. And Jackie, I know you had a few too.
You know, I'm going to really quickly run through this. The North Manhattan Beach Business District is having their annual holiday open house and walkabout tonight, Thursday, December 10th, from 5 to 9 p.m. That's Highland Avenue between 32nd Street and 42nd Street. This is a fabulous event, a lot of fun. If you can make it, get to it. Ruby's Diner is having their 8th annual Cruise at the Beach Christmas show on Saturday, December 12th. All right, the Cruise at the Beach ended for the season in October. This is their big Christmas car show. Again, a lot of fun. Alpine Village is having their annual Christmas fair for 3 weekends in a row, and that includes this weekend on the 12th and the 13th of December, and that takes place from 4 to 8 p.m. each day. The Redondo Pier Association presents the annual holiday concert and Santa at the Pier on Saturday, December 12th, from 3 to 5 p.m. They're going to have a retrofit playing, a South Bay cover band. They're going to be performing all the great holiday songs. Now, right after that, you need to head over to the annual King Harbor Holiday Boat Parade, again, on Saturday, December 12th. That gets underway at 4:30 in the main channel of King Harbor. And, Joe, I know you know, it's one of the best events of the year here in the South Bay. The Manhattan Beach Yuletide 5K takes place on Saturday, December 12th. It's a 5K on the sand. It's a really super low tide, and the packed sand is excellent running conditions, and they light the way with luminaries. It's a fun, fun event. Now, on Sunday, you could easily spend the entire day in El Segundo. On Sunday, December 13th, Rock and Brews El Segundo is hosting a dog adoption event with Bullies and Buddies, and this is part of their Kissmas celebration, which goes on all month. The El Segundo Chamber of Commerce and Chevron present the 52nd annual holiday parade on Sunday, December 13th. That begins at 1 p.m. and is expected to end about 3 p.m. And then later on that evening, the second annual Holidays in Harmony, featuring the Westminster Chorus and the South Bay Coastliners. And that gets underway at 7 p.m. at the El Segundo Performing Arts Center. Now, if that's not enough, Manhattan Beach, okay? The Manhattan Beach Firefighters Association presents the 19th annual Spaghetti Dinner with Firefighters on Sunday, December 13th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at Fire Station Number 1. Now, right after that, you should go over to the annual Manhattan Beach Holiday Fireworks, sponsored by Skechers. It's going to take place Sunday, December 13th. Gets underway at 4 p.m. You know, they have the snow park down there. They ask you to bring, you know, a new unwrapped toy that's requested for admission to the snow park. They're going to have slides and the fire dog bouncy and all sorts of stuff. And the holiday fireworks start at 7 p.m. and will be synchronized to holiday music. And so this weekend, ton of big holiday events. And I didn't even mention half of what's going on. So for additional information on those and all the other events going on, visit my website, southbaybyjackie.com. Oh, and one last important thing.
Yeah.
I got to wish JB a happy birthday.
Yay!
Yes, my husband's birthday is today.
Happy birthday, well, John.
Happy birthday to JB.
Yeah. I'm glad I remember that.
Wonderful. I think we've gotten everything in there. What's Suzanne doing these days, David?
Well, Suzanne has remained really busy. Thanks for asking. We still have two kids at home, so we got plenty going on the home front.
Right.
She has been a great partner for me. I'm in Sacramento 4 days a week, about 7 or 8 months a year, depending on the year. And she has represented me at some things in the South Bay that I can't make when I'm in Sacramento. So she's been a wonderful partner on some of our South Bay things.
Mm.
And then finally, and this is a mission near and dear to her heart, she is a participant in a clinical drug trial, not for anything that is life-threatening, but she has some health issues that some friends of ours know about.
Mm.
And she is working hard to help. This drug has been a health miracle for Suzanne. I've known Suzanne for 28 years now, and her health is better than it has been in the entire time I've known her. And
wow.
It's been a real blessing, a real miracle for our family. And she is working with patients and with a couple of companies to make sure that this drug gets to market and gets marketed in such a way that it reaches the people who it can do so much to help.
Wow.
So she's got a lot on her plate as usual, and I'm mm-hmm. been happily married 23 years. I am very fortunate in my life partner with Suzanne.
David, you need to update that bio. I had 22 years.
Yep.
Exactly. See, that's the same mistake I made earlier. Exactly.
Yeah. Update that bio.
Right. David, it's been a fantastic hour. And whenever we have a politician on, you wonder, will they want this to be really seen and heard by their constituents, their opponents, or whatever? I think everyone in the South Bay should hear this hour because, David, your explications of where we are and what's going on in California were just fantastic, the clearest I've ever heard about
You know why, Joe? Because he's not a politician.
Okay.
He just ended up in the assembly.
Okay.
He's not a career politician. He was trying to get somebody to do it, and nobody stepped up, and now he's doing it. So.
Right.
And so for people who want to learn more, the three things I just want to quickly pass on, my website is davidhadley.com.
Right.
And there's more information there. If you want to follow me on Facebook, my Facebook page is Elect David Hadley. And on Twitter, I'm David Hadley, CA, David Hadley, California.
Okay.
So we're trying to reach people around the South Bay in as many different ways as we can. But obviously, with terrific shows like this, hopefully, Joe and Jackie, you can help us get the word out in throughout the South Bay. And if there's one thing I can say, having now served 1 year in Sacramento, I think most of us know it, but it's been a very forceful reminder. We are so fortunate to be in the South Bay, and mm-hmm. we have our challenges and we have our problems, but we have very high-class problems, and we live in some of the best communities in the state, in the world,
mm-hmm.
and we just need to do what we can to preserve that South Bay quality of life and to pay it forward to other parts of the state who do not have the blessing that we have.
And let's just say, David, you have a standing invitation to come on the show whenever you want.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both. I hope you have a great holiday season, a great Christmas, and best to your families. And I'm really grateful for the time this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Assemblyman David Hadley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, and say hey to Jared and the family.
And I will.
Looking forward to following his baseball season in the spring.
All right, great. Fantastic, and what a great show. And, of course,
We'll be back tomorrow with Manhattan Beach 360, 8 o'clock, as always. We'll see you then. Thanks, everybody. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.